So you got your food truck running the way you want to, and you realize that, man, I need a little bit of help. I can't do all this by myself, or maybe it's you and a partner, you and a spouse, and you figured out that, hey, it takes more than two people. So you're ready to hire your first person. What should you do? So we're going to talk about that today. Welcome to the 10-Minute Food Truck Training Podcast. My name is Bill Moore. I am a food truck business coach, author of 5 food truck vending books, including Food Truck 101 and Food Truck 201. This podcast is all about helping you start and grow your food truck business. Marketing, we all know the word, but what does it really mean to market for your food truck business? Table Needs has you covered. Their step-by-step food truck marketing guide teaches exactly what you need to do to reach more people and to get more hungry guests ordering from your food truck. Click the link in the description below to get your copy today. So hiring a new person can be scary for a lot of people. First thing is you got to interview some people. You may not have anybody in mind to interview, but you got to go through that interview process. You want to be able to sit down and talk to somebody and ask them a few questions to feel out their personality and maybe fill out their background and their experience to know whether they're going to be a good fit for you. So let's start with, where can you find employees? Real simple. You can look through the job boards like Indeed. There are always people looking for jobs. You can talk to your local high school, your local culinary programs at a college or university. They're going to have some people that are interested in working in food service. You can also look at homeschool groups, because most of those kids that are homeschooled are the kind of kids that you want working for you. You can talk to coworkers for their children, or maybe they even need a part-time job. You can talk to people at your church. The idea is that you network and you find as many potential employees as you possibly can, because trust me, if you're a growing business, you're going to need them, because there will come a day when you will find yourself extremely short-handed and no one to turn to. So once you've got 2 or 3 people you want to talk to that have expressed an interest in your business and you like the application, you're going to talk to them. Spend 10, 15 minutes at the most. You want to ask them questions to get an understanding of how they would handle certain situations. For example, if they have fast food experience and it does not matter where it's from, talk to them about their experience. Get the details. And then ask them questions that will help identify whether they're just bluffing or they actually know a little bit about that particular restaurant. For example, I've never worked at Taco Bell, but whenever I have somebody come in that has Taco Bell experience, I'm going to ask them about Taco Bell. So tell me, what's the assembly process to make a taco? Tell me step by step as if you were training me. If they're really good, they can tell you step by step how to do a taco. Or if they're a cashier, hey, can you tell me what the procedure is to take an order from a guest and see if they actually know the procedure? Does it sound like the way your Taco Bells operate in your area? So you're going to ask them those kind of questions. You're also going to ask them things about their school if they're relatively young. Hey, what's your favorite class? What do you like to do in your off time? Are you a part of any clubs or organizations? Are you part of any athletics? All of these things help you to figure out, number one, what their availability is going to be, because if they're a member of a football team, then obviously you're losing them to practices and game days and that kind of thing. So you got to understand what kind of person and what kind of availability that they have. So at the point that you interviewed your 2 or 3 people and you go, this is the one I want, and you make that job offer, figure out how much you're going to pay him. So here's where everyone has the questions. Bill, I don't know what to pay. And this is what I tell everybody. You want to pay based on whatever your area pays a line cook in a fast casual restaurant, which would be something like Chili's or Applebee's, or would be TGI Fridays, Longhorns, one of those places. And then whatever they're paying, you want to match that. The reason you want to match it is if you get a 16-year-old that's awesome and they come work for you for a few weeks, you don't want them being taken away by somebody that pays them $1 more an hour to go work as a line cook at a restaurant. So pay them what the other places pay. So I can't tell you whether it's $17 an hour or $20 an hour. You need to call up a few places and say, hey, I've got experience as a line cook, and then say, how much do y'all pay? Because I'd love to get a new job. Find out what they pay. And then you match that. Second thing I tell everybody is every single job on your food truck has to be paid the exact same to start. So the cashier, if it's $17 an hour for that line cook, cashier is making $17 an hour. And the line cook is going to make $17 an hour if they are brand new. The reason you want to do that is because eventually you're going to train both of them how to do everything on your food truck. And if you're going, but Bill, the job is different. Yes, it is. Do without it if you think it's not as important as one over the other. If you don't need a cashier, you don't want to pay them $17 an hour, do without them. Oh, but they're important now, aren't they? Pay them the same. Because what that also eliminates is them going, that's not my job. I ain't going to do it. Pay them the same. So they don't have that luxury of saying, it's not my job. You don't pay me to do that. So pay everybody the same. You will do the job or you will leave. Your choice. And I have said that a few times. Once you've got them started, they're in position, and you teach them whatever that position is, whether it's a cashier, a cook, an expediter, whatever you call it, you teach them every possible thing about it. You do not rely on their experience to get them through. You don't go, well, you're from Taco Bell, so you know how to cashier, so there it is, go cashier. You teach them exactly how you want it done, and you talk about how to communicate with the people that are cooking the food. You talk about every single step they need to know to be successful in that position. That's why you're paying them a top dollar amount, 17 or 20 or whatever you're paying, and then you're also going to establish a clear path for them to make more money. So you hire them as a cashier and say, okay, as a cashier, I need you to do these 10 things every time somebody comes up to place an order. And as you continue to do those things and get proficient at it, I'm going to teach you another job. When you learn that particular new job, I'm going to give you a raise. And then you can determine whatever that raise is going to be, 25 cents an hour, 50 cents an hour, $1 an hour, whatever you want. But the idea is that when they start, they now have a light at the end of the tunnel that shows them they can make more money just by learning how to do more stuff. Once they're proficient at being a cashier, you're going to teach them how to expedite. You're going to teach them how to cook. You're going to teach them how to fry cook. Whatever the next position is, you're going to teach it to them so that they become more valuable to you as an employee. And guess what? When they become more valuable, they deserve more money. A raise should never be given on tenure. That's something that the school systems do. Oh, you've been a teacher for 20 years. You get more money. I would rather get more money based on what I've learned and what I can do. The quality of the work is what matters. And as you teach them more stuff and they get proficient at a second position and a third position, they get to make more money. That's how you handle hiring somebody. But they also got to have another carrot that's dangled, and that would be some type of a bonus. And you can make the bonus whatever makes sense to you. If they're a line cook, help us keep food waste down. Help us run a good food cost. And you share those numbers with them. And when you're sharing those numbers, they're learning how to run a business as well as, oh my goodness, we're wasting $20 a day in this area. We need to fix it. Now, I got some ideas on how to fix it. Then you can give them a bonus as they lower that amount because you're already wasting the money anyway. So if they're able to save $20 a day, why not give them to them? Because from the profitability standpoint, you have lost nothing. Except now you have a more efficient operating system and your crew person got to make a little bit more money because they helped you to become more efficient. That's what bonuses are. A way for the business to get better, to hit those goals that it has, and then reward the people that help make those goals possible. Now, all we've been talking about so far is hourly labor. So let's get into the real sticky situation that everybody always brings up. It's going to be one of two things. They're going to say a food truck can pay their employees as a gig worker or a 1099 or a contract worker, whatever you want to call it. But basically what they're saying is this person now has a opportunity to run their own business and they get to be a fry cook to do it. The IRS has stated very clearly that food service employees are employees. They are not gig workers. They can only be a gig worker if you have them help you do a catering and they never ever work for you again. Then yes, you can pay them $18.99. But if they're going to work for you every single time you set up a catering, they are an employee. And then you have to treat them as such, which means you have responsibilities as far as payroll taxes go. And you have to handle those responsibilities. Otherwise, they will come arrest you and throw you in jail. The tax man is not someone to be trifled with. So we don't 1099 employees. If you don't believe me, and you certainly do not have to, I want you to fill out form SS-8 and send it to the IRS. If you honestly fill out that form, the IRS will send you a form back saying, we're sorry, but your potential employee is an employee. They cannot be paid with a 1099. So you don't have to believe me. Just let the IRS tell you. The other thing that comes up is how do we handle tips? Because typically at the point that somebody goes to hire an outsider, a non-family member, now the tips come up. Who gets them? That would be the hourly employee. Because you as owner, irregardless of what you do and how hard you work, are an owner. You have ability to control whether the employee makes a tip or not. You could send them home. Oh, well, sorry. I know we got a big rush coming up. I'm going to send you home so I can make all the tips. Tips belong to hourly employees. I've got several podcasts on the problem with tipping in the United States. because it's class stratification, and it is a throwback to the Civil War, where the white landowners did not want to pay black folks that were recently freed. So they kept them in menial jobs, and those jobs would tip them. Wouldn't pay them, just tip them. They made nothing except whatever the gracious people would tip them. Again, class stratification. Tipping has become so popular in this country, all POS systems now have a tip prompt, and there's certain jobs now that people are getting fed up seeing a tip prompt. Like a plumber, they whip out their square, and the square has a tip prompt. Some dude making $120 an hour wants you to tip him. There is pushback on tipping right now. And if the economy continues the way that it appears to be headed, there's going to be a whole lot more pushback because people will not have a whole bunch of disposable cash to waste on tips. So now all of a sudden, the businesses that are paying decent wages become really, really popular because they will have people coming in there to get paid a decent wage rather than have to depend upon tips and make $10 an hour and then get tipped up to 17 or 20 or whatever it is that they make. So just to summarize real quick, you want to network so that you can find employees and have that pipeline filled up all the time. I always had employees, still got people I could call today and come work for me. It's just a matter of networking and figuring out what it is that you need, what kind of employee that you need. Next thing you want to do is set up interviews. Have a handful of questions you want to ask them. You can be as detailed as you want. You can be as generic as you want. But I would suggest that you look through the labor laws and things that you are not allowed to ask. You can ask the age if you have certain jobs that require a certain age. For example, if you serve alcohol or if you have a power-driven knife like a meat slicer, you have to be old enough to operate that. So that would give you a legal reason to exclude a 16 or 17-year-old. So make sure you understand what those limitations on what you can and can't ask because you don't want to be sued after the fact. Establish what your wage is. Figure that out right now because at some point, if you're a growing business, you will be hiring. You might as well figure out what the wage is now so you can be prepared for it and figure out how it fits into your profit and loss statement mathematically. Once you got your wage determined, figure out how you're going to give those people raises and bonuses because that becomes now a benefits package. Then you can also have benefits like I'm going to give you a uniform, I'm going to give you free meals, I may give you off-duty discounts. You can add in a lot of other little perks that don't cost you a lot of money, but it creates a benefit package that makes you look better than most other food trucks. From the bonuses and the clear-cut path to making raises, then you got to figure out how are we going to handle those tips. If you've grown accustomed to making tips, understand you're losing them the second you hire an hourly employee. So if you've been depending on those tips to pay some bills, you've got a problem. You don't need to be hiring anybody right now. You need to be figuring out how you can get the business to stand on its own two feet and not be worried about collecting tips. Tips are always personal income, always. The second that you're using those tips to pay for an expense in the business, that should be a big red flag to you that the business is not paying for itself. And if you think about it, if you're depending upon tips to pay an expense, then you're depending upon the generosity of strangers and their gift to you. So what happens when the economy gets bad? And then there's no more tips. So there you have it. That's our discussion today on hiring people and how to pay them as well. Thank you so much for listening to the 10-Minute Food Truck Training Podcast. If you're finding all the information helpful to your food truck business, please become a monthly supporter of the podcast. Just hit the support button or follow the link in the description. Every little bit does help keep us going. Join our Facebook group. It's called Food Truck Training. We have a whole bunch of awesome members at all different levels, from brand new beginners to decades-old veterans. They've all got your back when it comes to helping you with your food truck. And again, thank you for listening. Come back tomorrow because you know I got plenty more to say when it comes to helping you and your food truck business grow.